There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into the Tom Bernard Morning Show. If you haven't caught on yet, Tom is out this week. My partner in crime, Phil Mackey, was on yesterday. This is Judd Zolgad from Score North. I, of course, appear on this very fine show to talk about sports, but going to be on for hour one. Judd, Tevin, and AJ just came in from outside, and it's snowing. It's not supposed to last long, so hopefully that passes, because God knows we've gotten off easy this winter, and I don't want winter now. But, boys, let's start off with this. Age was out at the ballpark yesterday for the game. The Twins don't open until Thursday, but Age was out at the ballpark for the food tasting. And you know my contention in life, Tevin and AJ. My contention in life is this. You give media members any reason to eat free food, any reason, it is unbelievable. And the other thing about this is, you know, in recent years, that perk has sort of gone away. For instance, the Wild charges $13. That's a lot. It's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves, I don't know if you guys have seen this.
Nah.
For a meal, they charge $20.
What?
For the media.
For the media. For the pregame media meal. I'm not joking. The last time I checked, it might be more now, but I think it's still the same. It has been for a few years. $20. But yesterday was the food tasting, all of the new foods that they're going to have at Twins games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and baseball's become just a hodgepodge of new foods and culture, blah, blah, blah. And so what I want to do, Age, is I want to get your review here first on what you thought, because I'm willing to bet that you, well, I'm not, in fact, I'm not going to bet, I'm going to know that you and Ross Brendel, our buddy Ross from Score North and Hubbard Broadcasting, absolutely crushed it when it came to the food yesterday.
Yeah, we got compared to the old American Idol days of Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul, where I was a little more critical. I wasn't as forgiving, and Ross was just throwing fours and five out of fives, you know, willy-nilly out. And I think you guys would maybe agree with this. Judd, I think you probably would as well. Baseball food, like food at the ballpark, matters so much more than anywhere else for any other sporting event. Hockey, I'll get maybe a beer if I'm sitting in the stands, and that's fine. I don't need much else. Basketball games, you know, that's a good popcorn, but like baseball, it's the peanuts, it's the hot dog beer, peanuts, it's synonymous, all of these other stuff. And frankly, I think we're getting a little out of hand here. So I have the list here.
wait. They just fed you for free. You tried everything and you're ripping them by saying we're getting out of hand.
Look, I'm not, you can invite me and give me this king for a day pass where you parade me through the ballpark and you hand me all these free foods. I'm not giving out thumbs up just because you invited me there. Like, I'm going to tell the truth.
Yeah, and aren't they getting kind of almost state fairish with some of the stuff where it's we're trying to make a spectacle of, you know, whatever on a stick in odd combinations?
Yes.
So we'll start with this was actually my personal favorite of the day. It was the first thing I tried. It's a twist on just a classic brat. It's from the Union Hmong Kitchen. It's a banh mi brat.
Hold on.
Have you ever had a banh mi sandwich before?
Yeah, I can get on board with that brat.
Yep. So it was a kind of a different, not traditional brat that had some like pickled vegetables, some like garlic aioli and stuff like that. It worked a lot better than it should. That was like the best thing I had for the day. I would have that absolutely again on a trip back to the ballpark, kind of middle of the season. You're sitting there on a hot day. That would go perfect with a beer. So that was like my number one thing.
Do we know what the price is going to be? What the retail price of that?
That was my question at every single stand, and nobody knew what everything was going to be priced out. And they weren't informed yet. So this is based solely off taste and not on value.
Well, I mean, I think they should. I think, you know, and I know that it's an excuse to eat. It feels to me personally like they should be able to tell you up front what the price is going to be. So, like, when you come back to a show like this, a massive show with the platform Tom Bernard has, that you can be in, oh, by the way, that'll run you $17.99.
Right. Right. Was that $25 worth of good for that Bobby and Brad? No, probably not.
Anyway, I digress. Go on.
Next, we have the East Coast Barbecue Mac and Meat. So if you can imagine, it's basically a smokehouse style kitchen that they have there. They'll just take mac and cheese and your choice of barbecue meat, whether it's pulled pork, rib tips, or barbecue chicken. Mm-hmm. I tried the ribs. The meat was good. The mac and cheese, not so much. And this is the problem with like commercial mac and cheese. I feel like is the noodles are, you can tell, are just not great. The cheese is like, it's watered down. It's not the greatest. But the meat was actually smoked and tasted really good. So it was like a good 50-50 of the top half was great. Mac and cheese noodle part, not so much.
I feel like mac and cheese should not be screwed up.
Oh, I feel like it's so easy not to.
Yeah, that's one that's, they got to figure that out.
New this year is the curds and cakes. Don't be thrown off by the name. They sell cheese curds there, but they added deep fried Oreos. And this goes to Tevin's point about the state fairification of ballpark foods. It was, you know, it was a deep fried Oreo. And you're not reinventing the wheel here. I don't know if I'd want to eat that on a hot August day.
Yeah.
That seems a little heavy. So they didn't go sit in the sun.
But they made a point. There is going to be, and I can imagine how much this is going to be. They're going to take a mini Twins helmet and use it as a bowl, kind of like they do for nachos. They're going to put a bunch of these in here and do a sundae as well, so you can add ice cream to that and make it even more unhealthy for you.
A small helmet or like the nacho helmet, which, by the way, I do find to be the most repulsive thing in baseball.
Thank you.
On a hot day, when I go by a family of four, I'll dip in their hands in a massive helmet that, by the way, Dad is then going to wash out to keep.
Yeah.
But you know, the cheese curdling. I'm sorry, I'm not on board with the helmet. As a kid, the mini helmets they used to put ice cream in were fine because, you know, that was just a one person serving size. Feel like the big helmet is going too far.
This was like they added a new size. This is a medium, so kind of in the middle.
Okay.
But this is, I can tell you just by looking at what I saw, you're gonna have maybe two bites of it, and you're gonna be like, this is way too much. This is way...
Doesn't sound baseball. I'm Team Tevin.
Yeah. Nope.
Next, we have the smashed baked potato from Potato Cart. You guys like baked potatoes?
Love baked potatoes, but I don't...
And that's the
continue
thing.
Continue on.
I like it at my house for dinner.
Yes.
In the comfort of my home. Not at a ballpark where I have to... Because first off, and I described this on a video that's going to be releasing on Score North socials. It was a dumpster of just... different ingredients, different meats. It was a potato that wasn't cooked all that well.
Yep.
It was like it was cheese, but not like grated cheese. It was like nacho, the liquid cheese.
Yep.
There were a mountain of chives. There was pulled pork, sour cream on. Like you took one bite and it was just you felt a pit in your stomach. It was. It's not ballpark food.
If you're going, you need something that you can eat while you're holding a beer in your other hand.
Yes.
That's not going to be too messy. So as you're sliding in between all the stands and fans, this is too much. I don't have to want to carry now a family of four, six helmets filled with ice cream.
And you also can't. So if you're going to do that, it has to be perfection. Like that's a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like you don't give me this nacho cheese crap.
Yes.
So yeah, I am. I think I like the first two things that you said. I'm not that big on, and I love what you described as being a possibility, but it has to be done to perfection.
Yes,
not hodgepodge, not as the kids say, willy nilly.
Next, we're gonna go to this is in Lord Fletcher's, which is like off the right field wall. They kind of have that open patio area with some stores and stuff. It's right in the corner there when you enter. I want to say it's gate 34. It's the walleye burger. And the patty itself was really good and solid if you like fish.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, and this is what like any sandwich, you have to have a good meat or patty to like bun ratio. And it was just too much bread. It was one of those where I took a bite and I had to go find like a beverage to try just so I could wash it down. Otherwise, I would have choked to death. It was so dry. Too much bun. But the patty itself was fine. So it was like a 2 or a 3 out of 5.
Okay, not great. I do have a question about one of these things on the list.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is a Bussin' Birria Taco.
Yes, I was actually going to get to that next.
Go. Exactly.
So that was at the, I want to say, the Kent Herbeck, like, Section 114 restaurant.
Herbeck's Bar.
I want to preface that the one I tried, I was a little later making my rounds because we were filming content.
Right.
So I think the one that I tried was a little, it was sitting out. Like, it wasn't fresh like everybody else got. Mm-hmm. It still was solid, but this is going to be, if you're in a premium seat and you have like some space to yourself and you can maybe, you know,
make a little mess.
Yes, exactly. This is the meal for you. But if you're going to go trot down the third base line and you're sitting next to a family of four and you're wedged between in the middle and you're shuffling to the middle of your row so you can find your seat, you're spilling the burrito taco juice all over the people in front of you and you're making enemies. Like, tastes great, but just like the practicality of like keeping it to yourself, so small.
So this should be eaten in Herbeck's with a beer at one of those high tops.
Yes. Absolutely. The last I'll group in two quick things. They had a Just a Burger and an Ultimate Burger. Those are the names of it. Basically the same thing, just in different spots. Tastes like a burger. You know, it is what it is. The last one, and I was actually really surprised by this. They had a S'mores Boozy Ice Cream. Don't tell Phil that I had a little bit of this on the clock, Judd.
Oh, but I've already forgotten.
Perfect. This
I drink on the show sometimes.
That's true.
And I drink on camera, so I'm in no position to turn on you.
This, I think on paper, is awful. Like, you're going to mix alcohol with ice cream. It was incredibly refreshing.
Yes.
It wasn't overpowering at all. There was a hint of, like, you can tell there's alcohol in it, but they did a great job of, like, kind of dressing it up. This is like a hot day. Maybe it's the sixth inning, seventh inning. The sun's being down. You just want a slight refresher. You don't want a full extra meal. The Boozy S'mores Ice Cream is going to be your treat. And I absolutely am going to get this sometime this summer.
This sounds like something that they have, or at least that they did have last time I was at spring training down the right field line at Fort Myers. And it's delicious. I forget what it was exactly, but it was, you know, a boozy ice cream. Mm-hmm. Huge winner.
Okay.
Huge winner. Really, really good. Refreshing. Mm-hmm. It didn't get you tanked, but I mean, it was really, really good. So if you had to rank a top three from that list, because it sounds like what Tevin said is accurate, which is we're talking some like non-ballpark food being forced here.
Yeah.
And we're getting too cute. Top three for you, AJ.
Top one, hands down, the banh mi brat from the Union Hmong Kitchen. Like, that was, I'm going to search this thing out. I think it's in section 117. No, I'm looking at it right now. 127, if you're going to the ballpark, if you go into the home opener, 127, you can find that. The boozy ice cream, number two. That was like a clear-cut surprise. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. And then I didn't actually try this one because this was Ross Brendel advocating for it, along with pretty much everybody else there, from Cubo Latin Food. I don't know where it's located, but they had these chicken tinga arepas, which is like a mini Mexican like chicken sandwich thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't try this. Everybody said it was amazing. So that's my one regret from yesterday while making the rounds. But I'll put that in the top three. I didn't try it, but I didn't hear a single bad thing about it.
Did you miss out on it, or how did you miss it?
We, like I said, we were kind of running late to some stuff.
I feel like you endorsing it after not trying it is really an indictment on the rest of the food you just mentioned.
Everything else was like medium to a letdown at best. So I think that kind of throws out. I'm not going to put a baked potato in my top three.
No. I would at like a restaurant for sure.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm with you guys like at home. I love baked potatoes. You know what, though? When you said that they introduced a cheese that was like a nacho cheese, totally lose me. That's disgusting.
That's where you lose me.
Oh, there's nothing worse than that canned, just the fake, where they put the chips next to it at every high school or homecoming game. I'm out on that cheese.
Which is, it's great when you're 18.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, when 18, you don't know 19,
you don't give a damn, but no. All right, so a top three. Twins open, of course, at home on Thursday. They have a two-game series against the Brewers that starts today. Let's take a break. Come back with much more here on the Bernard Morning Show. Judd in for Tom.
Mike Lindell and my fellow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. Thank you. They're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever when you use promo code Tom. You get free shipping on your entire order. You get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code TOM, and you can get free shipping on your entire order. So, call 800-516-5146. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code TOM.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
And welcome back to the Tom Bernard Podcast. Judd Zolgad from Score North in for Tom today, at least for hour one. Andy will be in for hour two. It's Tevin, it's AJ. So at least two of the familiar faces of this show are on hand. Let's get to sports. Since ordinarily I would bring in Judd, or Tom would bring in Judd, but since Judd's here, let's just talk some sports. Did you guys catch any of the women's basketball last night?
Oh, yeah. It was electric.
Yeah.
It was better than anything the men's tournament has
done. First of all, Caitlin Clark is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
She's absolutely ridiculous. But then Paige Beckers of Hopkins plays after her. Mm-hmm. UConn wins. And the first semifinal in the Final Four is obviously now going to be Iowa-UConn. That is going to be incredible. But, yeah, I was watching those games last night. And I mean, I've seen Clark play. I've got my brother and sister-in-law and a bunch of my family, because my wife is from Cedar Rapids, live in Iowa, you guys.
Okay.
So, like, I've known about Clark for a while. She's a hero down there, a god down there. But those games were absolutely incredible. And Caitlin Clark, you're right. Like, as far as the tournament goes, just through the course, and the men's tournament has had some nice surprises. Like, it hasn't been terrible.
Right.
The basketball for the men is not great. But it hasn't been terrible, but the women's tournament is just phenomenal, and man, was that fun last night.
Yeah, and even Juju Watkins in a losing effort for USC, I was like, she's going to be probably one of the best women's players of all time as she continues to get better, because she's like 6'2", moves like a guard, and can play in the post. Like, this is, the women's game has come a long ways.
It definitely has, and Clark is, this is why... Gentlemen, this is why, and I have not advocated this since Lindsey Whalen came out of the University of Minnesota. This is why, when the Lynx got off to a bad start last year, I was ecstatic, and I thought, okay, this is perfect. They're doing this on purpose. They're going to lose as much as possible. They're going to be terrible. Now, it's a lottery format, so you're not assured of, like, just being the worst team doesn't assure you of that pick, but obviously it drives your odds way up.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark grew up a Lynx fan. You know, she's from Des Moines. It all fit together perfectly. And then they had to go break Judd's rule number one of all sports, which is you're bad, just be bad. No, we're going to rally back. And now Caitlin Clark is going to go to the Indiana team.
Yep.
Can you guys imagine? Can you guys imagine just from a business standpoint, if the Lynx had, you know, just maintained, and it was not maintained. They got off to a bad start.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was just maintained being bad.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Target Center this summer with Caitlin Clark?
I would consider buying Lynx season tickets.
A lot of people would. Yeah.
Like, that's how impactful she's been on the game of basketball. And normally for women's, it was, you know, empty stadiums. Everybody thinks it's a joke. And now it's like, oh no, they can play extremely well.
Yeah, she's a superstar. I mean, she was shooting the lights out last night.
It's incredible.
To your point of how far the game, like the women's game, has come, I'm scrolling Twitter during like commercial breaks and stuff, and I'm seeing people like make jokes about the game, similar to how they would like make jokes about a men's game.
Mm-hmm.
It's equal. And yeah, like the competition, the excitement level, like last night was theatrical. It was, and like Tevin said, we were talking before the show to actually this morning, like, it kind of sucks that it was for a chance to go to the Final Four, not later on in the tournament. But I'd rather it be that you actually saw that matchup than just pray like, oh, we need these teams to get mm-hmm. past, you know, because now they have to face UConn. If it's the other way around, who knows if they beat UConn to get to the Final Four and face LSU. So last night, just a great, great night for women's basketball.
Yeah, and if Caitlin Clark and I were able to win a national championship to go through – you know, yep. Who they just play at LSU, who has, you know, Angel Reese and Flage and Van Lith, and then they have to go through now Paige Beckers, yeah, and then potentially the undefeated South Carolina team. She'll go down as one of the greatest college runs and players of all time.
Well, and the thing, too, is, like, you do have to go through some good teams now. Like, mm-hmm. it used to feel like it was UConn in the Pat Summit days, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and really nothing else.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, South Carolina doesn't necessarily have a player with the name of Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, but South Carolina is really damn good. And, you know, alone the semifinal between the Hawkeyes and UConn is going to be absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Beckers against Clark. Now, the Lynx do have another chance this season because Beckers is going back to school, and I do contend that, you know, her presence, if she was with the Lynx, would be fantastic. She's a fantastic player. I mean, Clark's so good, she overshadows everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's Caitlin Clark and the rest of the star players. But the reality is, I mean, if you got Beckers here, again, imagine that. Hopkins kid, phenomenal talent.
Yep.
Absolutely phenomenal. Target Center. You know, that again gets back to your point where you would have people buying tickets, season tickets, who might not go to a game. It's why it drove me crazy when Waylon came out. And at that time, now they wouldn't necessarily have it now because since then the league has definitely progressed. But I always said at that time, have a territorial draft. Like Lindsey Waylon going to Connecticut didn't really help the league at the time, because this is, what, 2004, 2003?
Yeah, that would have been right around there.
But, you know, if Lindsey Waylon had come right here instead of playing for the Connecticut Sun and then coming back here, I can only imagine the excitement there, because that run to the Final Four tournament by the Gophers back then, I mean, the TV ratings were off the charts. Mm-hmm. The place was packed. It was absolutely great. So, yes, you've got another chance here. Cheryl Reeve, listen to me. I know you're competitive. I know you want to win basketball games. But just for the love of God, for the good of the marketing department, give yourself a chance.
Yes.
And, you know, your team doesn't have to be that good, right?
No, be bad for Beckers. That's what we need.
Yeah. Ooh, I like the shirts. Print the shirts.
Yeah, let's go.
I love the shirts. All right, so.
Let me ask you guys really quick, too.
Yeah.
Maybe fill me in. Like, I know the, like you said, Flage, I know Angel Reese, I know Haley Van Lith for the LSU team. Other than Caitlin Clark, is there a good supporting cast, or is she kind of just so good that she's elevated that team to a different level?
I think it's mostly that.
Okay.
Like, I don't think they have anybody. Gabby Marshall is the only other player's name that I know off the tip of my tongue, but yeah, they seem like she really elevates their game with some of the incredible passes and just open looks she's able to get them.
Okay. She had the center last year, who I think is in the WNBA now, a center who she was really good pairing with, and it's hurt. Well, it's hurt her a little bit, at least for a while. But I mean, to what AJ was saying, those pull up threes, I mean, those are ridiculous. I think there was one last night where she crossed half court and basically from the logo,
yeah,
shot, and it was no desperation. She's just like, oh, what the hell?
I'm feeling it, yeah.
And like, she makes it look, and this is the best compliment that I can pay star players. They make it look so simple, like, yes. Steph Curry. Steph Curry makes a half court shot look like nothing. That it looks like, oh, I could do that. Like just look at that. You know the strength it takes and the skill it takes to launch that three. I mean, I don't even care if it gets near the basket.
Yeah.
The strength it takes to launch that three from over the logo, you know, from the logo over half court and make it look, and Steph does the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. You make it look like it's absolutely nothing.
And when the entire gym knows that you're coming down and you're going to be shooting the ball. Like, it's not like a surprise. Caitlin Clark is a good shooter. They came into the game planning. We're going to stop you, and it doesn't matter how close you are. There are people draped all over, and she's, whatever, I'm just going to get a bucket.
The LSU player who was trying to guard her, they had that great shot after one of Caitlin's many made threes where she literally looked at the bench and just went,
yeah.
Like, and it's like, what am I supposed to do?
And that's the thing I saw. Haley Van Lith is like 5'7". And to my understanding, Caitlin Clark is like 6'1". What is Kim Mulkey doing on the sidelines? Make an adjustment.
Well.
Or it seemed like they were just leaving Van Lith on an island.
Well, they didn't double Caitlin, I don't think. And no. Kim got a lot of questioning about that. That's a new thing that I think what you just said is really intriguing. The one thing I found is that, because, I mean, Tevin's right. The women's tournament, well, first of all, it's got more big names than the men, because I dare you to name as many male basketball players in NCAA basketball as you can female.
No.
But the other thing that we have run into is becoming upset when your players are criticized for justifiable reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking off the court, I don't like how you acted. We're talking like that. We're talking like, there's some people that get very offended, and it's like, do you realize this is what you've been asking for? Like, you want to be criticized.
Yep.
For, you know, decisions on the court, for shot selection. These are the type of things that we, as the Royal, we didn't care about for how long. Like, this is what you want. You want the criticism, because the criticism, as long as it's not personal.
Right.
But if it's a justifiable, you know, assessment of a player's performance or something, you've been begging for that, because that means you're relevant.
That means people care. That means people are paying attention.
Yes.
And they're taking interest in not just you as like a promotional stunt or something like that.
It's correct.
I care about the tactics. I care about your gameplay. Why are you making this decision? And if, to your point, Judd, you've been asking for so long, why is it now that as soon as somebody's critical of maybe the way you approach a game plan or something like that, you can't spin it off as like, well, you know, you're just attacking me. No, it's because it's basketball. It's like when I watch women's hockey, same thing. I want to know, why are you bringing your breakout through the middle of the ice? Why? Like,
exactly.
It's yeah.
Exactly right. All right, let's take a break. We'll be joined next by our friend KSDP's Chris Eggert. Catch up on the news, and I'm sure have some more fun. Tom Bernard Morning Show. Zolgad in for Tom.
In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearms safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lana Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tom Bernard Podcast. Judd Zolgad in for Tom and Channel 5's Chris Eggert. Brought to you by my guy, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for free 48-minute evaluation at 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Welcome to the show, Chris. What's going on, man?
Well, hi, Judd. How are you?
I am I'm outstanding. I'm absolutely outstanding. Look at you on TV look, and wow, you look way too good. Is it weird? Out of bed and drove here.
Well, it's weird seeing you in the same room as Tevin and AJ. I'm a little thrown off because normally you have your like little sporty sport guy, sports
bobbleheads pictures. I know. And yeah. Then I got this is pretty boring. Like it's got the thing. So my voice is not echoing, but yeah. Hey, did you, as a basketball fan, and I know that you're a big one, did you catch any of the basketball last night, namely that Iowa-UConn game, man?
I had to go to bed, and I knew if I started watching it, I wouldn't be able to like stay up. So I did not. But I am here to say, I know this is going to be controversial. Go UConn, go Paige Beckers. Let's beat Iowa.
Ooh, I was going to say. So you see that's my question. I'm guessing that what you just said is going to be the norm here, because obviously Paige is from Hopkins, but that was going to be my question, is what's the division going to be between the Caitlin Clark fans, because she certainly has, and she deserves it, a huge fan club, and then Paige. I think this is going to be a very fun game here because of that question.
I hope so. I mean, and that's not a knock on Caitlin Clark. I think she's freaking awesome. I think what she's done for the game is awesome. I love everything about her. But, you know, for those of us who saw Paige Beckers play and we know what she's all about, unfortunately, she's been having injury problems to deal with. And, you know, we haven't really got to see her at her best. And I don't know. I'm just hoping that, you know, she brings it. Just the UConn story itself is interesting because they're playing with like 5-6 girls, right?
Yes.
So half the team is hurt. But I'm not kidding you. And we've got a daughter who plays girls basketball at Minnetonka, so we're tied into the whole basketball thing. Like every single parent in the world has suddenly somehow become an Iowa women's basketball fan when like none of these people they're posting, you know, Iowa Hawkeyes, this, that, and whatever. And nobody had any connection to Iowa. No, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. That's just me kind of hating on people who like jump bandwagon. But
I have no problem with that. Go ahead and hate. Yeah.
I mean, I talked to, I just did a interview with Brian Cosgrove, who's the Minnetonka coach who used to coach Paige at Hopkins. And he was talking about just how she is just, she can see the court so well. She's such a great player. And like, he's really looking forward to, and this was before things lined up the way they did. He was really looking forward to the opportunity that maybe they'd play each other. So I don't know. I think it'll be cool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'm so old, Chris. I'm so old that while I attended Benilde for high school, I grew up in Tonka. And yeah. I remember when the only thing that the Skippers were good in was hockey. Basketball program was a mess. Football was a mess. Now, much like Benilde, you guys are good in everything.
Well, I think it comes down to a lot of the numbers game. I can say our girls basketball teams for sure. I mean, we're 20 to 30 girls deep in every class.
Wow.
And that's not even, I mean, that's talking freshman, you know, that's not even talking. And so for them to even, I think there's just the bigger schools have such an advantage when it comes to numbers. And then, you know, when you've got this high number of people to choose from, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
But I don't know. It's great to have Cause there because he obviously coached Hopkins, and Hopkins has been like the top dog forever in girls basketball. And I don't know. It's nice to hear his insight with Paige. And this is actually pretty interesting too, how much it's changed since when Paige was in high school as to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me that like she used to drive this like piece of crap, old broken down car, blah, 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 blah. And some of these girls now who are still in high school and are already going down the path of the NIL thing, I mean, that stuff can start happening in high school now, which is insane. But.
So do car dealers give these kids, or not give, but like discounted or gift these kids cars now in high school? Or like how does that work in high school?
I don't exactly know, but I do know that the NIL, if you're a high schooler, you can take advantage of it, which is, again, like what a different world. And I, the NIL thing is a really easy thing to hate on right now, but go back and watch that documentary about Michigan and the Fab Five, and go back and rewind how far that, I mean, that doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but I just happened to watch this documentary the other day.
Yep.
And the whole bit was these guys were like broke college kids. Well, at the end of the, you know, at the end of the documentary and at the end of their run there, Chris Webber gets in trouble for taking money from an alumni his connection to the school was kind of very loose, but you know, I think it was Jalen Rose or, you know, he was saying, like, this guy was around when we were like little kids, and like if we need money for food, or he wasn't like he was buying them cars or doing, you know, it was just such a different environment. But the whole point of that documentary is like Weber's like, dude, they're selling uniforms, they're making millions and millions of dollars off of us. Like, why shouldn't we be making some money? So
absolutely,
I don't know.
Yeah, the NIL problem is not the kids and it's not the idea. It's the fact that the NCAA got away with this for so long and that they still, I mean, it was forced upon them. And so they have no plan. I honestly don't know why they exist. I honestly don't get what is
the NCAA?
What is the NCAA's purpose now? Because once in a while they come down with sanctions. If I was a school, I've said this for 3 years now. I think it's ridiculous that the Gopher men's basketball program does not hang the 97 banners from the Final Four appearance back up. What are they going to do at this point? They're powerless. I would say, like, if you look at what the infractions were from Clem's teams,
yeah,
you know, it was basically, I think some kids got some cash, and Jan Gengelhoff wrote papers for kids. I'd say, look, we're not going to accept sanctions for that when you have way worse now. Like you're trying to make something having not happened. That one was fantastic. That run was as much fun as I've had, you know, in my entire lifetime watching Gopher basketball. But second of all, you're powerless. You can't do anything. What are you going to do? Try and sanction us again?
I think that NCAA is really good at making itself important and getting money to keep funding its bureaucracy.
Exactly.
How's that for an answer?
Spoken like a true former college athlete.
Yep, that's exactly right. But my point is they've had their teeth pulled now. So expose that, you know, like, and right now, as far as this whole thing goes, they have no clue. I mean, the transfer portal has become, it's hilarious. You can't keep teams together now. It's free agency run amok, because at least in professional sports, there are real contracts. Like, you can't decide, you know, the Timberwolves are pretty good, you know, but my name's Ant and I'm going to go play for the Lakers next year. See you later. Bye. At least you're under a contract. So it's ridiculous. Okay, sir. Before you go, what is the news, the headlines for today that you came with?
You know, honestly, a bunch of, there's, you know, some kind of spot news stuff that happened last night. There was a fatal shooting yesterday in St. Paul. Couple trial cases that we're covering right now, including this guy who's accused of stabbing a bunch of teenagers in the Apple River a couple years ago. Some of the video came out from that yesterday. It's the craziest thing, because at first it looks like these teenagers were kind of like messing with them and pushing them, and it kind of seemed like it was a joke and like they were like laughing about it. But then at some point during that video, like, you can tell that's when things escalated, and the kids' faces sort of go from like messing around with them to like, holy bleep. Like,
right.
This dude's they think that a trial is going to go on for a couple weeks, but that's kind of a big story that we've been following the last couple of days. And that whole thing is really, really quite odd. Nobody really knows how things played out that day in the river. So it's going to be curious to see what a jury says with that. So
it's so disturbing too, because like for you as a parent, you know, I mean, kids go out and have fun all the time. This is probably a dime a dozen type of thing. And for it to turn tragic is just it has to be so hard to process, because it makes no sense.
No, I mean, it doesn't. And that when I saw those kids like in the video, and you could tell they're just like stupid teenagers, you know, joking around. Look at this old man. But at the point that it changes and the screams get real, and man, that's bad deal.
That's some scary stuff. All right, Chris, thanks much.
Hold on one second, Chris.
Oh, sorry.
And we can get to it tomorrow, but I want to prep you for it. So I was stalking you a little bit and stumbled across your bio, and it says that you've flown with Blue Angels, but that you've also sheltered under a table in a Walmart. If there's a good story behind this, I would love to hear it tomorrow.
I'll tease it with this. It was Hurricane Francis, and it was back when I was living in Orlando. So, I'd love to talk about the hurricane days next.
Okay. Tomorrow. We got to talk about this tomorrow.
All right, Chris, we'll do that tomorrow. Talk to you later.
Have a good rest of your day.
All right. Bye-bye. Chris Kors brought to you that appearance by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation, 952-925-5608. That's Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, 952-925-5608. Back after this.
Have you enjoyed Minnesota's non-winter this year? Want to enjoy the warmth whenever you want? Two Minnesotans can help you live that dream. Matt Carlson from Realty One Group Destination Key West grew up in Litchfield, Minnesota, started out helping his friends find homes locally and in Florida, and now he can help you. If you've considered living in the warmth of Florida, now is the time to reach out to your new friend in Realty, Matt Carlson. It's a buyer's market now, and your Minnesotan friend Matt can help you with a new home here or in the Florida Keys. And if you need some guidance with financing, Kristen Eklund from Coast to Coast Mortgage can help. Kristen is Matt's preferred lender, can finance anywhere in Florida, and like Matt is one of us, as she hails from the Sartell-Alexandria area. So if you're looking at a new home in Minnesota, or maybe that second home or retirement place in Florida, trust your new local friends, contact Matt and Kristen. Visit onekeywest.com. That's onekeywest.com, or call Matt at 612-791 612-791-2345, 612-791-2345, and work with local professionals you can trust.
Hi guys, it's Chris Eggert from Channel 5 Morning News, along with my friends Megan Newquist and Ken Barlow. In the morning, we pride ourselves on sharing people's stories. I've been lucky enough to be part of this 5 Eyewitness News morning team for more than a decade now. This is where I've raised my kids and working alongside my friends for all these years. We're like a family too.
We are family, Chris. Working with you and Ken and Hannah, it is such an honor to help folks start their day every morning on Channel 5. We get to catch people up on the news that's happening, and Hannah is here to keep an eye on the traffic around town.
And when it comes to weather, I know people rely on me to plan their day and get their family out the door. Over the last 10 years, there are so many memories and so many laughs. I just love sharing the forecast alongside you guys.
I feel the same way, Ken. To all you who start your day with us here on Channel 5, we think of you as family too. Thanks for turning on 5 Eyewitness News in the mornings.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Tom Bernard Podcast. Sans Tom today. He is out for the week. Zolgad in Score North. Today, tomorrow, and Thursday, Phil Mackey, my partner from Score North, will be back in on a Friday. All right, boys, in my final segment, I got a question for you. Tevin, we'll start with you.
Okay.
It is the month of the NFL draft. As a Viking fan, are you more excited or apprehensive about what is about to take place? Because I do think this might be the most important draft that they've had that I have seen.
I agree with that statement, and I'm the most excited I think I've ever been for the NFL draft, because the thought of us trading up to 3 or wherever to get a potential quarterback, and then you hear things like people speculating, oh, will the Bears actually take Caleb Williams? Could Drake May fall and all this? I'm a crackhead for the draft. I love it.
What's your best guess?
I think we trade to 3 and we end up taking Drake May. There we go.
Okay. Age?
I'm like in a middle ground, like a murky middle ground where I'm excited about it, but I'm also just so cautious, because I think myself and maybe a lot of Vikings fans have probably sold ourselves into Kwesi's trading up. There's no doubt about it. He's trading up. There's no issue. It's not a matter of when, it's how high he does. Mm-hmm. Will he get to 5? Will he go to 4? Will he get to 3? But what if he doesn't? And that's where I get a little maybe worried, because not in the worried where the sense of you miss out on one of those top 3 guys, it's the end of the world. Because you don't know. Look at how many drafts you can prop up these 18, 19, 20-year-old guys. They're going to be the future of your franchise. You don't know that. You get like one shot in every draft maybe. But what if they sit tight, grab a really good player at 11?
Yeah.
And then they sit at 23, and maybe they take a stab with Michael Penix, because from my understanding, he had a decent pro day.
If he's there.
And that's the thing, we don't know
what his stock is. That's the thing, is we don't know internally, like, is he really going to last till 23?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people a month ago thought he'd last till the second round, and now I'm seeing more, hey, he could go like in the top 10.
Yeah, well, because if he didn't have his injury history, he would be a top 5 pick. So if somebody's going to talk themselves into, we can make this work, because he played extremely well his last 2 years at Washington.
Yeah. So whatever it is, I think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is the fallout, because then whatever happens, you're now in your new era of Minnesota Vikings football. Kirk Cousins, it's still lingering, I feel like, because we haven't officially seen them move on to a new quarterback. Sure, Sam Darnold, that's not your guy.
No.
Your guy is whoever gets taken, and panic button, full nightmare if they draft no quarterback. I think that is a fireable offense at this year's draft. So yeah. I think they're going to trade up. It's just a matter of who they take and how they mold them. And I think it was Colin Coward that compared it to whoever steps in here is getting like a fully furnished apartment.
Yeah.
You have a very offensive-minded, kind of in-tune head coach with Kevin O'Connell. You have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, and a franchise left tackle. So this is about as good as it can be for one of these young guys. It's not like you're going to the Jets, like a dumpster fire.
Right.
It's the Minnesota Vikings, kind of a dumpster fire in its history, but in a sense, you're set up for success here. So just, you know, just have faith in Kwesi. Let him cook until we see that he's making some, you know, garbage.
I do feel like, though, from what you're talking about, AJ, I think we are also at the point, though, you know, when you're a kid and you got your heart set on a Christmas present,
mm-hmm.
and your parents might buy you a bunch of really cool stuff, but you don't get that present. That, to me, is what not trading up now would feel like, because our hearts are set on, you're going to go up and you're going to get one of those quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the four, which let's just say it's McCarthy. But yeah, if you sit there at 11 and take a really good defensive tackle, and then let's say Penix falls, I think people would be disappointed. Now, to what your point is about not taking a quarterback, I think that would be an enormous thing. I mean, the fans would revolt, because mm-hmm. we've got the sold-out draft show for Purple Daily at the Fillmore on April 25th. And my God, I hope to God that they do trade up, because the place will go nuts. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, and then they don't take a quarterback, that's going to be toxic. Absolutely toxic. You know, what's too bad is, so I remember this in the case of when John Elway was drafted by the Baltimore Colts at the time and said, I won't play there, and was traded to the Broncos. And then this happened with Eli Manning when he was taken by the Chargers and didn't want to play for the Chargers. If, you know, you could have a quarterback, I don't think it's going to happen, but you could have a quarterback basically of that group say, I only want to play for the Vikings. Because it's true. When you look at Chicago is ascending. Like, I do think mm-hmm. that they're in decent shape. But after that, you know, Washington's been a dumpster fire as far as how it's run. Now, they do have a new owner to replace Daniel Snyder, mm-hmm. but they're still not, like, I think they're still perceived to be on shaky ground.
Yep.
You know, the Patriots are a forever. I wouldn't want to go there, because if I'm a quarterback and I go there, it's Bryce Young 2.0. Like, if you set me up to fail, I'll probably fail.
Exactly.
You know, Bryce Young, for all these questions, one, I'm not convinced he stinks, but two, I think he was put in a situation that was terrible. C.J. Stroud deserves a lot of credit for what he did in Houston, but he was also put into a situation where it was ascending, and then the Cardinals, I don't think, are going to take quarterback because they've got one in Kyler Murray. But that being said, I want no part of the Cardinals either. So the Vikings are the one team where if I'm a young QB to go play for O'Connell, to go play with Jefferson, Addison, to go play indoors.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a really, really attractive opportunity.
Yeah, it feels like no matter who we take, they are in the best position to come in right away and succeed and kind of iron out those rookie kind of growing pains and kind of massage those out easily. So, but yeah, if the worst case scenario would be, like you're saying, AJ, not take a quarterback or for some reason trade back like the old Spielman and Zimmer days where we just keep acquiring picks. But I'm ready to just mortgage the future, and either it's going to work for the next 15, 20 years, or we're going to have to restart in 5.
And Judd, we are like, we're about, what is this now? Within a month? Within a month 20, from the draft. So it's about 3 weeks.
And change.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's draft month.
With how much time is still to be, I guess, happen until the draft? I know you've been around the draft a lot longer than Tev and I have been alive. So is the
yeah, I'm old.
It's a very nice way to say
you're old as dirt.
That was supposed to be a compliment for your expertise.
Yeah, I really came out wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go home, get in bed, and cry.
That hurt my feelings a little bit.
How much of the kind of how much of the gamesmanship and just because you see like the press releases or like the little tidbits of information that get released as the draft approaches to try to either shift draft stock up or manipulate it down. How much more are we in for that in the next coming weeks before the actual draft night?
oh, it's going to be...
Is it going to ramp up even more than it has been?
Yeah, it'll be consistent, and I think we'll get more as well, into draft night.
Yeah.
Like, the subterfuge is going to be at an all-time high. The next 3 weeks will be absolutely crazy, which is why the Vikings, are going to do... They're sending people to the pro days for these QBs, but more importantly, they're going to do private workouts with just the kid and them, because a lot of the subterfuge just gets to us and teams know. I mean, hell, teams put it out. Teams lie on purpose.
Yeah.
But I think we are in for a month. And what makes this draft so fun, it's more fun for us because of obviously the Vikings needs, but what makes this draft the most fun is just the plethora of good quarterbacks. Because, the jockeying for position, the jockeying for trades. I do think that if you want to get up to get Drake May for sure at three, assuming that Daniels goes to Washington, I think you're probably going to need to include your 2025 first, which is too rich for some people, especially since the Vikings might not be that good. I think you could get up to four or five. The question is, if you go to the Chargers pick at five, is McCarthy still there? Because the Cardinals could go back from four to six, still get a great receiver and get some things from the Giants. And if you go to four, the question is how many teams bid on that pick and can you avoid throwing in your 2025 first? There's a lot of stuff to come here.
And I'm sure they're playing poker as well as anybody else, but have you in your time, just covering the team on a day-to-day basis for the past, however many years, since Purple Daily started, is there a clear cut Kevin O'Connell's leaning towards this guy, or have we not seen anything like that? Has he kept everything close to the chest, or is he maybe favoring a McCarthy, maybe favoring a Daniels, maybe favoring a Maymore?
They've done a pretty good job. I think the one thing that they haven't hidden is the fact that they would love to trade up. Out there.
Okay. Yep.
That's out there. And look, any morsel that you can get from these guys is a kernel of gold.
Yeah.
As far as who they would take, no, I think he's done a pretty good job. My sense is from his skill set, Tevin's right. I think it's Drake May.
Okay.
But
I
don't
want to let the record be shown.
But I also think they take McCarthy if May was gone.
Yeah.
But as far as there's been very few times that you can read things into a draft. I remember I think the last time I was convinced I knew who their first round pick was going to be beyond a shadow of a doubt was when they took Percy Harvin in 2009, and Percy had some questions about his personality, not surprisingly, and he failed a drug test. I think he smoked pot, which is, which he
shocking.
Smoked. Yeah. And I think the Vikings were drafting 22 or 23. And I remember at the pre-draft press conference, it was very clear that if Harvin fell, they were going to take him. And that's the last time that I think I was just positive. And of course he did fall. And of course they took him and he was marvelous for his brief time here, especially in 2009. But yeah, the one thing I think we've seen very clearly is that they are making every attempt to trade up, which is why I'm inclined to think they might be at the end of the day, if they have to, they are going to be inclined to throw that 2025 first in because I think the only people more disappointed than fans if they don't get a quarterback, especially early, is going to be O'Connell himself.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they'll take a quarterback, and then that'll officially start the O'Connell and Kwesi clock. And
amen, brother. Here. That's exactly right. That's what I've said.
We can find out if you guys are good or not, and we're either going to move on or start winning some Super Bowls.
Yep, and it could decide there. The next month very well could decide contract extensions.
Yep,
their future. All of that. Boys, it's been great fun. Thanks much. Andy is up next. I'll be back tomorrow from 8 to 9 in for Tom Bernard.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. To thank you, they're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, you get free shipping on your entire order. You get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98, and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand-new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom, and you can get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Tom.
Is that text you're sending so important that you miss your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearm safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lina Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Oh,
there we go.
There we go.
Now we are back. And we have Josh Arnold with us, right?
We sure do.
We have Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hello. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, not too bad. Apparently the stock market is not doing as well, though.
Yeah. Josh, is it down like 400 points?
You're ahead of me here. You've got all those screens up and you're probably looking and you're wondering what the heck is going on. The first 2 days of the month, we've seen the Dow Jones down, we've seen NASDAQ down, the S&P down. This after a very, very strong, and I do emphasize strong, first quarter. A weak start to the second quarter of the year. Might even say yesterday was April Fool's Day, and it was, ha-ha, we fooled you after making money for the first few months, particularly if you were overweight in technology, that being semiconductors primarily, some companies, some favorites, such as my favorite, Amazon, up pretty good, and many industrial companies, such as Eaton, General Electric, and Honeywell, also moving up in the first quarter. The start of the year, not so much. A lot of profit-taking. Well, now worries about the Fed and interest rates. We're back to worrying about the Fed. My goodness, the economy is too good. The gross domestic product numbers are too high. Oh my goodness, there's still a little bit of inflation. Too many people are working and they're making a little bit too much money. Yada, yada, yada. So traders are worried that the Fed may not be cutting interest rates, even though from their last meeting, the Fed did indicate the probability of 325 basis points, that's 0.25% interest rate cuts this year. It has been my sense since the beginning of the year, when strategists at that time were talking of 6 to 7 rate cuts this year, as inflation came down. I had felt, I don't think the Fed is necessarily going to cut. Possibly they would cut at their May meeting, but I think that's now off the table. Cuts at a June meeting, given, we'll say, economic numbers that have been coming out, are starting to come off the table. I don't believe the Fed is going to cut rates prior to the election, which would mean the Fed would be cutting at their last meetings at the end of the year, if in fact that happens. I'm still with the mantra that the Fed is going to maintain higher rates for a longer period of time, particularly given the economy is still doing pretty well, though there are many people who've had been affected by still higher costs, particularly at the grocery store and recently at the pump.
Say, and Josh,
so inflation is still there.
Yeah,
yes.
And Josh, you mentioned kind of the election and coming up and how that sometimes will affect the stock market, and with gas prices especially, you'll see prices kind of go down. Are there any trends related to the election that you see in the stock market usually, where maybe things start to trend up so that way they can take credit for look how great the economy is doing?
Well, that typically can happen. At least the incumbent is trying to say, look how good the economy is.
Mm-hmm.
The stock market, broadly speaking, it has been up during my tenure. Therefore, you should elect me. But there are an awful lot of people who had sold out of the stock market. There are a lot of people who are very heavily weighted, or if they're looking at their 401k portfolio, they are in target date funds, which is something that I do not recommend. And target weight funds, rate funds, or target, yeah, target date funds, which many people have, well, I'm going to be retiring in 2024, 25, or 2030. So they're investing in the 401k in a mutual fund that is really a fund of funds, owning several different stock funds and several different bond funds. Those funds have been underperforming the S&P index, primarily as interest rates move up, bond values drop. And just to point something out, the long-term bond index, TLT, was down as much as the NASDAQ index was, which was a third, that's in 33%, in 2022. Now, the NASDAQ index came back very strongly in 2023, but the TLT index only moved up under 5%. And year to date, that TLT index has lost money versus the S&P, which is up, and NASDAQ is up. So your target date funds, which many people have in the 401k, they're looking at that and saying, huh, well, the stock market might be up, but my 401k is barely moving.
Mm-hmm.
So we want a new guy. On top of that, typically in any given year, the stock market is down 3 to 4 times, you know, 5 to 10% each pullback during the course of the year, and in years of an election, there's usually a pullback, we'll say from the time of the convention or conventions until just until the election, when it's decided who the next president is going to be. This year, I think with the candidates already decided before primaries are done, I'm not sure that you're going to have as big of a pullback prior to the election because, we'll say, of the experiences that people have had. And I think that's going to translate into the market. So prior to the election, I don't think there's going to be as big of a pullback as there normally would be. And relating to the Fed, which also gives a lot of traders pause, and many are counting on or have been counting on the Fed cutting, which is something that I've never counted on. You know, I primarily focus in on what are the company's sales and what are their earnings. And where are people spending money or could be spending money going forward? You know, there, so that's a different focus. I'm looking at company fundamentals rather than what the Fed is going to do. And I think if the focus comes back to what companies are earning, I think you people will do a lot better, even with all the daily fluctuations. Does that help you?
Oh, it helps me more than you would know. Another question for you, kind of just a random sidetrack and kind of a trip down memory lane.
Fine.
Have you seen the documentary, The China Hustle?
No, but that sounds like a good movie.
Well, it's about the financial crisis of 2007, 2008, when people were buying like kind of small Chinese companies, getting them to like reverse merger with U.S. companies, put them on the stock exchange, and they would sell them for whatever, millions of dollars, and they kind of whatever, this big, huge
securities fraud.
Securities fraud. There you go. Do you remember that? It was Orient Paper.
No, that one I don't remember, but I do remember we've had that kind of thing here just a few years ago with the special purpose acquisition companies, most of which came to naught. There are only a few SPACs that actually succeeded, where you had SPAC, a special purpose acquisition company, basically a blank check company that would go out and raise money and target a smaller company and bring them public. Most recent SPAC that came out went from market symbol DWAC, Digital World Acquisition Company, bought Trump Media, and that merger took place last week. That company now has the market symbol DJT for Donald J. Trump, who is the majority shareholder of Trump Media. I say the merger took place. First shares were traded at $70, and the stock, that was last week, it went up a little bit, and the stock is currently trading a DJT at $50 a share, which is where it closed as a SPAC. So that was not a particular company. No offense to Donald Trump, but but Trump Media has very few paid subscribers. I think there are 5 or 6 million paid subscribers to that. Sales in the company last year were 4 million. The company has a lot of losses. And they announced they have some internal financial controls issues that they have to solve. A company that has any type of accounting issues, you typically want to stay away from. One of the more successful SPACs was a favorite, longtime favorite of mine, and maybe you guys are familiar with it because you might be into, we'll say, online betting or fantasy games, and that's DraftKings. They're probably the, I'll say, if not the most successful SPAC, one of the most successful SPACs.
Yeah, well, they,
they're,
I mean,
out there.
Everybody uses DraftKings that, for the most part, it's them, and there's a handful of others, but DraftKings is definitely the main online sports betting app. But Josh, we got to go to break.
We're going to go to break. You don't want to talk about the potential.
It's just a little teaser on a Tuesday to get everybody ready for the Friday show. Yeah, well, that's where you deliver all the goods.
We can talk about that because there's some big things happening this week. But do be careful out there with some of the volatility, and we're in one of those typical market pullback periods ahead of taxes.
Josh, where can people find you?
They can find me in Edina, where I have been.
Just search Edina. You'll find him eventually.
Yeah, you can call me up at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. You always get straight talk, not sugar-coated advice. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Look forward to it.
And with that, we are going to break, and we will have Kristen on.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
The new Tom Bernard Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner. You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Kristen Burt, Entertainment News is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to NABankCo.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Hello, Kristen.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
Too early.
That was a real delay.
I'm loving life. It's a great day. How's California treating you?
It is good. It is cold for us. Mm. It's in the 60s at this time of year. It's not great.
What a crime.
We're dying.
Just had a conversation with somebody yesterday. Like, it's about to be so warm these next couple of weeks. It's about to be 60.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all relative to where you live. Because, and I've always said this, because I've lived in New England. I've lived, obviously, in New York and Minnesota. And if it's 60 in those locations, I'm cranking out the tank top. If it is 60 in California, I am cranking on the heat.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I've lived a decent amount of time in West Palm Beach, and being near the ocean below 65, something about that ocean air just makes it feel much colder, I think.
It does. And in California, we're desert. So at the second the sun goes down, it is cold here. So, and it's just you do have to grab your puffy coat. And I know everyone laughs because we're wrapped up in scarves and it's 60, but your blood does thin and you become a weather wimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say it takes like 3 years and then the climate is your new normal.
It's true. I think it took me 3 months.
I can't imagine finding 90 degrees comfortable. There's just no way.
You do. Honestly, you do find it. I don't think 100's comfortable, I'll be honest.
No. And 100
we do have 100-degree days.
Yeah.
But 90, you can be relatively comfortable. I wouldn't be, like, for someone who's fair like me, I'm not out in the blazing sun at 90 by any means, but I'm not also sweating to death either.
See, I'd be on the sweating to death.
Yeah, me too.
I know we talked about this last week and leading up to it with Sacha Baron Cohen and Rebel Wilson, but he released a sex scene or something like that that was supposed to be private. That was like the cutaways of a film that they were making. Can you clear up what she's talking about?
Yeah. So he released additional footage that didn't make it into the film. And I think for her, she feels like it's intended to embarrass her or maybe get her to back off any of the claims. And she goes out even further to say, you know, he made sure that the wardrobe was there to make my weight, my body shape, the butt of the joke, to show like anything from cellulite and, you know, any of those things that might shame or embarrass you. And they shouldn't, because hopefully we're having better conversations about body size and shape and weight and how we frame all of those. But this has become like a real fight. And I, Sacha Baron Cohen to me has never had a great reputation in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And Rebel Wilson has also had kind of a difficult behind the scenes reputation as well. But I do feel like Rebel is probably telling the truth on this, because given the time frame of how we looked at people who were curvy, I think that is, and you know, I feel like we're swinging back to like even the early aughts where we're like, everyone has to be super skinny, because now everyone has Ozempic and everyone's like, let me be as skinny as possible, even if they don't need it. And I worry that Hollywood now after sending a good message, is now sending a bad message. So it's going to be an interesting story to follow.
Mm. Well, Sacha Baron Cohen is he's known for being mean-spirited a lot of the time.
I think that's the best way to phrase it. He's prickly as a personality.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people have worked with him and have had wonderful experiences with him, but I've also heard that if he, for whatever reason, doesn't take a liking to you, it's very challenging to work with him moving forward.
Well, I mean, he got huge a long time ago at a very young age, and that tends to inflate the ego a little bit. How old was he when his first thing was probably what, the Ally G show? His first thing?
Yeah.
And he must have been like barely after a teenager, right? How old was he?
He was in his 20s, I think, for sure.
Ally G show. Let's see.
But he might have been in his mid-20s, I'm almost thinking.
Ally G show started in 2000.
And he was born in 71.
So he was 29. I mean, yeah, I guess he did dress like a teenager, so kind of, you know. They probably smoothed out his face and everything with concealer.
It's amazing what good lighting and makeup can make a 29-year-old look like they're 14 years old, because he's tiny.
We had kind of the opposite. We were watching House, and there's this guy, he does like seminars for men, like how to be better husband kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he faints, and then it cuts away, and House goes, patient is a 38-year-old male, and I say, 38, my ass. And Melissa's like, oh, did it strike a nerve? I'm like, no, this guy is clearly 50-something years old. Let's look it up. And I was right. They're trying to pass off a 50. He was like 52, trying to pass him off as 38 because they put him in one of those, like, surfer dude wigs.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how's he better than this?
I love playing the wig game in Hollywood. And I will be pointing out to Bill, I'm like, look at that. That's a toupee or that's a wig. That, yeah. And he's like, how do you see it? And I'm like, you look at the edging, especially. Usually they're pretty good about the hairline if it's a good hairdresser. But sometimes, like, right around the neckline, you can see the gap. Mm-hmm. And we don't normally have a gap. And so if it's not laying flat or laying right, you just know it's a wig. I play that. I shouldn't say this. Should I say this?
Yes, you should. You should.
I should say this. I play that game oftentimes with Cobra Kai. And favorite actors, I believe Ralph Macchio probably wears a hairpiece. And sometimes it doesn't lay right. And I always go, it bugs me because then I focus on his hair instead of his acting. And I love the show and I love him. And I hate it when, like, hair or makeup takes me out of the equation.
Yeah. When you have inside information as well, because you see a lot of these celebrities kind of on the day to day or other events where you're like, your hair isn't the same thickness and color that it was on set there. So, yeah, you have inside information.
Yeah, and I think, you know, probably the most obvious one, and he has gone to his natural state, is John Travolta. For years, he was wearing hair pieces, and it was really kind of obvious. And I almost thought, I think he's going to look great without wearing the hairpiece, because almost times it looked awkward, or sometimes, and hair, we all know hair is different shading. You get into the light and you see different, like, textures. You see, I'm like getting into all this hair thing, but it's true. So when you see a flat color, oftentimes I'm like, that's a hairpiece that hasn't been dyed or played with or anything else like that. So I'm actually glad that John Travolta just embraced it, because I think he looks fabulous.
Yeah, or like the wig won't exactly match the facial hair or the eyebrows, and like, it's like, okay, yep, you didn't, you need a new colorist.
Yeah, I love it when people have like dark brown hair and then gray eyebrows. It's like.
I am someone though, I will admit this, I do dye my hair, but my hair is like a natural, it's like you can see under here, it's a natural red. And my hair, my eyebrows have always been brown, even when I've never dyed my hair. So it's some people are a freak of nature like me. So dark eyebrows, blonde hair.
Well, but the graying of the eyebrows is a pretty telltale indicator, I would say. Although some people don't gray on their eyebrows, do they?
Sometimes they don't. And like sometimes beards can be weird too. Sometimes you can have only gray on your beard and, you know, you don't necessarily have as much gray on your head. I don't know. I mean, it's the body is a, that's a whole other thing. It's a phenomenon.
Yeah, my gray's all right here. This is where it is. This is how you can tell I'm aging. This little spot.
Yeah, when you mention gray eyebrows, I think of immediately of Eugene Levy.
Yeah,
like the most
giant gray eyebrows,
the most notorious eyebrows in Hollywood.
He's got a strong brow, but it really works for him.
Yeah, it does. He's definitely the Groucho Marx of our time.
Yeah. But, yeah, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, what else is new in your world? Any fun events that you've been through? I feel like you live a life of luxury.
A life of luxury. No, I was at the biggest event that I went in the last few days. I went to JoJo Siwa's studio. And if anyone is paying attention to JoJo Siwa right now, she has a dance studio here in Los Angeles. She's kind of going through that Miley Cyrus transformation. Does everyone kind of remember? She's like, Miley went from Hannah Montana and she's like, I don't want to play this young character anymore. Mm-hmm. I just want to be like my badass young 20 self. I think JoJo's. JoJo's doing something similar. And if you saw her at the iHeart Radio Awards last night, she was dressed in her, it looks like Kiss. Like it looks like a throwback to Kiss. I that's the only thing I can think of with like the makeup and the jumpsuit. And it's really interesting to watch because she's been a brilliant marketer. Like little girls bought her bows for years. And I don't know if people realize this, but Dance Moms is bigger than ever. Because all of the seasons are on Hulu and a whole new generation has discovered it and they're obsessed with it. So it's actually bigger than it ever was when it first run on TLC. Mm-hmm. And they are rebooting the series. They've already filmed it It's a new group of dancers. Abby Lee Miller is not there. It's a new dance teacher who I know. And so I'm curious. That's why they're doing a Dance Moms reunion with some of the kids. So I'm curious how this like all sort of plays out, because if you're on TikTok, JoJo has a new song out and people are kind of mocking it, but at the same time, she's getting a ton of play. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, at the end of the day, she's just genius with her marketing.
Asia, you said, thank God. Are you a closeted Dance Mom super fan?
I was forced to watch that when it was on TV, because it was like that. My mom loved watching it. Yeah.
Forced to watch it.
Well, it's like also Abby Lee Miller is a psychopath.
I didn't know where you're gonna go with that.
Attractive.
Yeah.
She's
Abby Lee Miller's phone number, you guys.
Okay, call her. I'll tell her. I wanna know why she was like
hey Abby, okay, why are you such a psychopath?
Like, well, let me tell you something. And yeah. I'm gonna give you a little bit of scoop and all of this.
Ooh.
I've gone to dinner with Abby Lee Miller.
Okay.
And it was a kind of an accidental dinner. I went to see
Was this wheelchair or not wheelchair?
What?
This was wheelchair.
Okay.
Yes.
She and I'm just trying timeline wise. I just want to know kind of how far
timeline.
Oh. Okay.
No, sorry. No. This story is pre wheelchair.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me, because I'll give you the timeline. Because so and you know, crazy enough, and I'm not going to say who it is, because the person that I went to dinner with is actually the new Abby Lee Miller. Talk about. I didn't even think about this. So this is a weird like little. So they're taking Abby Lee Miller's place on the new Dance Mom show. So I went to dinner to watch someone's daughter perform. And they said, a friend is coming. So I was sitting with me, the mom, and there was one empty seat. And it turns out the empty seat was Abby Lee Miller. So this was just a week before she went to jail. A week before she reported to jail. And we decided to go to dinner. We were in North Hollywood and it was late already. And I'm like texting my husband, and I don't usually come home super late. I mean, we're getting into like midnight, 1 o'clock, because Abby Lee is telling stories. And I'm like, I cannot leave. And I'm texting my husband. I'm like, I am fine. I know it's a Tuesday night. I'm still out to dinner at this place in North Hollywood, but I'm with Abby Lee Miller. Oh my gosh. And I think one of the most interesting things is that she loved those girls, those young kids.
Mm-hmm.
As they became more and more famous, they asked that the character get amped up and amped up to the detriment, I believe, to everybody, to the detriment of Abby, to the detriment of the kids. We witnessed like what a lot of people have called as trauma and abuse. I think a lot of that falls on TLC. Of course, it all falls on the adults, because you're willing to sell your soul for fame and fortune. And some of the things that Abby was caught for, I think other people were involved. I think she took the fall for other people.
Okay.
Honestly, because she believed like, listen, they're parents, I don't have any kids. And I would love for the actual real tell-all book for Abby to eventually come out. And I would love for a couple of the Dance Moms kids, maybe in 10 years or something when they're a little bit older, to be able to reframe how this all came out. Because it was abusive, but I think a lot of it came as a result of the fame and fortune.
Yeah.
And attention they got.
I wish Alex was here, because she could tell you stories about dance moms, dance teachers, dance kids. There's a lot of just craziness in that field.
Yeah. And even...
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in it. So yeah. I completely agree. Especially in the ballet world, where the stricter the teacher was, you're like, this is great.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And you'll also, and we're just talking about like body image and stuff too. It really affects your body image. You'll never look at your body the same in that era of how the skinnier you were, the better. And, and I'll tell you, like, I used to, we would do, what they used to call juries in ballet school, and they would grade you on technique and performance, and weight was the third category. Mm. Can you imagine now doing that?
The whole stage is just a big scale.
Oh my
God. I see a one behind that number.
Yeah, that was a perfect pirouette, but did you have fries last night at dinner?
You're looking fat. And I've never had a weight problem, but I will tell you like how, I mean, I look at my photos now, I'm like, I was so tiny, but I would get by. I'd be like, I'll eat an apple and I'll eat some rice cakes. And then if I'm really hungry, I'll fill up on some apple juice.
Yep.
And it's no joke. It was terrible.
Well, it's like they said on The Simpsons, there's a reason cigarettes are called dancer sticks.
Cigarette salad.
Yep, exactly.
I never smoked, but yeah, it was it was pretty common to curb appetites. And then if people did quit smoking, they would obviously eat and gain weight. It was just a vicious cycle for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's so weird to hear, because obviously dance is different, but I remember being in at college at NDSU and we had the opposite
you
issue
had
where we had
to
be a,
so
like weigh
pounds,
a certain amount. And so I remember getting to the weight room at, you know, 6 a.m. You get on the scale and you're like, I'm 7 pounds under what
burger.
I'm supposed to. And you're just drinking. I remember drinking like gallons of Gatorade and water trying to make weight and get yourself bloated because you're like, I just have to hit a number.
Give yourself kidney
issues.
Isn't
that crazy that that's disordered eating too on the opposite end of the scale?
Yeah.
And the sports do it, you know, some of the arts do it. It's, you have to be really careful. And you, I think parents have to be really careful in how they talk about food around their kids too. You want to have a really healthy relationship with food.
I think we should have a welterweight football league.
Yeah, it's just like a bunch of just fat guys running around playing wide receiver, quarterback, all that. Yeah.
All right, so we got to go, unfortunately.
Excellent. Yeah. You know, I forgot to mention, but we'll talk about this tomorrow. College admission scandal.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
It's college been 5 years, scandal. But we got some news with all of that. Awesome. So let's talk about that tomorrow.
All right, so before we head out, I will correct one thing I said yesterday. I said I was going to talk about the whole thyroid thing on Thursday. That is now today on The Family. So,
all right.
CancerCast begins in 10 minutes.
All right.
I love that you
and thanks for
cancer
sharing
cast.
Your story, too, because you're going to help a lot of people, Andy.
Yeah, that's why I was originally not going to talk about it at all. I was like, why bring the show down? But then on social media, it's like, it turns out everyone on Earth knows someone who's had this.
Yeah.
So it's like, might as well talk about it. So look forward to that at 9:45. And Kristen, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
You able to read the
all right, Kristen Bird Entertainment News is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, and we will see you tomorrow or 10 minutes from now.